I don't know what it was. He's walking upright like a man.
Sightings in and around Vermont.
Bigfoot sightings across New England have been reported.
Red glowing eyes, about 7 feet tall.
Red eyes, big old fangs, claws coming out through. 3 inches long, you know, just sharp as they can be.
There has been another UFO sighting flying over the Royal Botanic Gardens. There are 500 UFO sightings in the world every month. The truth is out there.
On my way out of work, I saw just like a brown Chevy, but it had red and blue flashers going. Mm-hmm. And then there was just a guy in the road with like a yellow, like a school guard crossing vest. But okay. On the yellow vest was just printed, "The Police."
It's like the band?
No, it was a yellow traffic vest and it just said, "The Police." Like the band, but he had red and blue flashers. And I was like, "You, sir, don't appear to be anything like the police." So then I just went to go like fucking ignore him because I'm like, "You're not, whatever you're doing isn't a thing." And then I saw there was like an ambulance in a driveway and I was like, what is happening? So he's clearly like a volunteer of some sort. But it's like, get that man like a legit looking, instead of just, it didn't even just say police, it's the police. It's like, that's some Amazon level shit. And the red and blue flash, they're all tiny. I was like, this is just, some guy got shut off Amazon and is just trying to like haul like lumber or something across the road was my assumption. And I was like, fuck that.
Could you hear every breath you take in the background?
I could not. No, I could not.
What about
not.
Roxanne? Because you were in, I don't know if there's a red light district in.
I don't think so.
I don't think there is. But did you hear Roxanne?
I did. That would have been, I would have listened. If that same guy did that and just had Roxanne blasting on his radio, I would have been like, all right, I'll hang out and see what's going on.
That's fair. Like, that's that. At that point, it's like, okay, some shit's happening.
I was like, all right, this guy's got a bit. And I'm in for it. I would have done that for sure.
It would totally be a thing that I would expect out of Woodstock, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have like, that, the Naruto kid. He dresses up like, one of the, well, oh, shit, what's the, they start with an A. I'm drawing
a blank. Atsuki?
The Naruto, I'm a
the,
bad.
They kid. Have the, like, clouds,
Akatsuki,
right?
The Akatsuki.
Yeah,
there's a guy with the scythe and that dresses like the Akatsuki and just does, like, scythe tricks in his front yard.
Why?
All day. Woodstock. Out of the
Oh, he's dressed as that specific guy.
Yeah.
From the Akatsuki.
Like he does the moves and he just as long as the weather's good, he'll be out front in his Akatsuki costume doing some like it's choreographed well. He's had lots of practice.
Yeah, it's a choice though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to yuck his yum, but it's a choice. I personally don't know if I would do that.
Yeah, I'm trying to
How old is he? Roughly.
Like a kid. I'm bad at estimating.
Oh, okay. Like, if he's a kid, then it's okay.
But not like a middle school. Like someone that, like, you're a little old to be doing that. I was punching in Google because I was like, there might be a chance someone took his picture and put it, but it didn't come up. So that was fun. And then nothing but Helldivers.
Yeah, a lot of Helldivers.
So many Helldivers.
It's a silly game. That's really all I have to say.
It's a goofy, fun game that it's just play it.
I play alone a lot because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yeah.
Shit gets bizarre.
I'm sure it took, wait, on what level?
I play it on,
four?
Five.
Five alone? Okay, yeah, you just hate yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean, Brandon, I feel like there's, what episode is this, 152? There's like a week's worth of content that points to that conclusion.
At least
a week's worth of content that points to me hating myself. Although I did have tragedy struck me and I dropped my phone on Saturday.
Yeah.
And the screen finally broke.
Oh.
And it sucks because it's a phone from 2018, right?
Yeah.
And
are you going to get a new one or try to buy a replacement screen off iFixit?
Okay, so the screen itself is like $200 because it's one of those fucking curved AMOLED screens that has the curved glass. And like, I went to a repair place and like, listen, do you guys just replace the glass? Because the screen itself is fine, right? Like,
yeah,
like there is literally nothing. Like, you visually can't even see that there's anything wrong.
And
with
they're
it.
Like, no, it's an OEM part, and that comes with it.
Basically, but like. I think it's because it's a curved screen and it makes it harder to take it off.
Potentially.
Right?
Yeah.
Because there's the curved edges. It's harder to take it off without like fucking up the digitizer and the AMOLED.
Yeah.
So like, but like, I don't want to spend $200 on a new screen.
If it still works, you could potentially get it traded in and get a new phone for $200.
You want to know how much? You want to know how much I can get for my fucking phone?
Oh, no.
$20 American, and that's if it didn't have the broken screen.
That, you know what? That reminds me, when I got our new phones, they just gave us our old phones back, and I was like, oh, that's...
That's sad.
They're valuable. Well, I get a new phone when my other one dies, so they weren't new.
Almost every time I've gotten a new phone, it's because my screen shattered into, like, a billion complete pieces. Usually that's, well, okay, so I have a life cycle with phones, right? I get the phone, I put them in an OtterBox, right?
Yeah.
Because those are the things that I do. Then inevitably that OtterBox crumbles on me in some way, right? And so with this phone, the first OtterBox crumbled back in 2020.
Yes.
Right? And then my second OtterBox, because Christina bought me an OtterBox for like my birthday or something for my phone, because I stopped using the OtterBox, right? And she got me a second OtterBox for my phone, and that one crumbled on me.
What is going on with those? This is cheap shit I got off Amazon, and it's lasted forever.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
because the back of the phone, no one cares, and then the front, you just put on the glass. Not the plastic protector.
This phone has been a nightmare because I've had to replace the power button on it, too.
Oh, God.
So, like, and for those of you wondering, it's an S9 Plus, and I love it, but I hate it. And that's really all there is to it. Brandon, let's finish this stupid fucking Vargina.
Whoa, we gotta do an intro because it's an even number.
Yeah, okay. Is it an even number? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, 152. Welcome to Cryptopedia, an exploration of the myths and legends that haunt the human mind, where each week we'll take you on a journey exploring the mysteries of the world, tackling tales of monsters, folklore, the paranormal, and the thing that definitely lives under your bed. I'm Brandon.
I'm John, and I'm looking at somebody having a drawing of... Okay, so it's a drawing of a small, like...
Did you scroll all the way to page 10?
No, I didn't. This is separate, like... Because I have, like...
Is it a drawing of a man standing on a toilet taking a diarrhea on his friend?
It's close. It's a bathroom, right? So it's a drawing of a bathroom with a door opening, and then it's whether or not the toilet should be directly in front of the door or offset from the door. And I don't know why this exists.
Someone probably thought it was a better idea to have the toilet closer. The right-hand side where the toilet is nearest the bathtub is what you want because the door swings in, and then you also, all the drains and shit are along the same wall. But I don't know why anyone would think, oh, I don't know.
See, I do approve the toilet being closer to the bathtub, and that's mainly because of my experience in China.
It makes it easier to shit than shower. You've got that going for you.
Well, no, it makes it easier for me to throw up into a toilet bowl.
Oh, fair.
But, anywho.
Yeah, but so this week is going to be the third and final part of the Vargina saga. There's one to
saga
cover.
Saga is the right word, considering the fact that it is...
Three different aspects of it, and also there's an episode I wrote, I forget why, I'd have to check the date, very recently, that I'm very excited to do next, and so there will not be a part four unless... I run out of stuff and have an emergency because there's more to this shit and I'm just still over it. So
I don't even know how there's more to it.
So there's like, the initial incident with the three girls, and then last week we covered the actual interview with them, and this week we're going to cover the military and the medical aspects of it. So we kind of grouped it by that.
I'm all level with you, Brandon.
Yeah.
I don't remember like any of this. So
that's fair. I'm going to do a recap. I'll do a short little recap. One.
Okay.
It's Medino. It's El Medino.
Oh yeah, it's the poop boy.
It's the poop man, probably. And then we have Roger Lear and his awful interview techniques. So the primary source for this episode and the previous two is UFO Crash in Brazil, A Genuine Crash with Surviving ETs, published in 2005 by Dr. Roger K. Lear, a.k.a. The Foot Guy.
The Foot Guy.
He's a foot guy. When we left off, two officers had just thrown a creature into the back of the vehicle. And thus concludes episode two of the Virginia UFO incident. Part three, we're
Did
leaving...
they, though?
They, it might have been Medino. Probably not. I don't think they would have... I think that part was made up.
It'd be really funny if it was, though.
Like, we're gonna get you to a bathroom stat.
Listen, we gotta just clean you up. That's really all there is to it. You're
shit, you gotta shit like a king every once in a while, and you've earned it, Medino. Part three, we're leaving the interview of the three women, and we're going to cover the military and the medical testimony. And some time has passed between when I wrote episode two and this one, so it's going to start off potentially as a little bit of a refresher, which I'm sure, you know, some people may need as well. So after the incident with the three girls, two police officers also came across a creature, which they promptly tossed in the back of their car and took to a small medical facility, which I presume to mean an urgent care or something similar to that. And they advised that there was nothing to do for it, and it should be taken to the hospital, which I possibly... they drove to a hospital in the middle of a town called... They drove to a hospital called Hospital Regional, and little is known what happened after that, which is normal. If the cops drop you off at the ER, I imagine they're not hanging out to see how you're doing, rub your foot, and get you an apple.
Most aren't.
Yeah, like, they probably just don't want to be there. Well, we'll cover this later. The exact duration of the hospital stay is unknown, but on January 22nd, 2 days later, military personnel removed the creature and took it to a larger hospital called Hospital Humanitas, about 1 mile away.
Wait, Hospital Humanitas? Oh, wait, this is a Humanitas? Like, as a...
Portuguese?
Humanity?
So, like, Hospital of Humanity or Hospital of the... I don't know.
Brandon,
Humanitas
don't...
Research Hospital. It's a thing in Bronx, New York. That's probably not the one they're talking about.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
Maybe they took him to the Bronx.
That'd be funny.
That would be... Hold on tight. We're going for a road trip.
Wait a second. Do you have your passport?
Yeah, you're kidding. We'll drop you off at your place. You need to grab your pass. Actually, we're going to stop by a CVS and just get a fresh picture.
Yeah. It'll take a little bit. Don't worry. We'll get you medical care.
We'll get you there. 18 hours later, a convoy was said to be behind the hospital with the small coffin-like box that was loaded onto a flatbed truck.
Why a flatbed? Okay, wait a second.
You had just asked the exact same shit I put in parentheses.
Brandon, why a flatbed truck, first of all? Second of all, if you're trying to hide... Okay. There's like seven questions I have.
Uh-huh.
If you're trying to hide this thing, get a fucking unmarked van, first of all.
Yeah.
Or a box truck, right? Or like
a roomy
sedan.
An
even.
SUV with the back seats pushed down.
Yeah, like there are so many options you have, right? And this is, when was this? This is the 90s? Is the 90s. So, like, SUVs are a thing at this point.
Absolutely.
Right? So,
or
like...
a pickup truck with the hardcover on the back.
Yeah. Don't make your thing that is supposed to be a hidden creature be, like, clearly visible on a flatbed truck.
In the open with a couple ratchet straps. Yeah.
It would be the funniest thing in the world if if they just like ratchet strapped some shit onto like a flatbed track,
separate next to each other on the back. I'm gonna assume that this my giving them the benefit of the doubt is gonna say this may be a translation error. Maybe they might throw it on the back of a pickup.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking don't give anyone the benefit of the doubt. Period. Ever. Ever again. It's over.
I'm trying not to just shit on everything all the time.
I've given everyone the benefit of the doubt. I'm done with the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. And that was taken to a nearby training base. The cycle of escalation and relocation of the body continues for a while. I'll spare the long list of new locations and names, but it supposedly ends up with an autopsy by one Dr. Baden Palhares. Who did the autopsy of Joseph Mengele, by the way?
Wait. That's not like...
This isn't just me like typing from what I read in the book. I read the book, but like they said autopsy done by this guy. All right, let me find this, if there's any background on this guy to see. Because I want to try to at least verify that the people they talk about are real. And if I recall correctly, yeah, he was practicing in that time, in that area.
I typed Mengele wrong and it auto-completed to Omegle.
Oh, good. That's not even around anymore.
No, it is.
Is Omegle? I thought they got rid of Omegle. Maybe I'm thinking of a different random one.
No, Omegle's still there, I think. Maybe. Maybe. It recently dissolved in 2023.
Yeah, I was going to say it dissolved because all the Twitch streamers that used to do Omegle stuff switched over to an app called Monkey.
Oh no, there's like, if you go to Omegle.com, it's a fucking tombstone.
Oh god. Yeah, I mean, other like copycats jumped up like right away because they're like, oh, now there's a void in this online space.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a billion of them.
Yeah, and then so Dr. Palhares, who two notches in his belt, aliens and Mengele, all evidence to the Vargina UFO has supposedly been moved to the United States black sites. I spared.
Wait.
Don't think about why.
Why is that evidence?
So I'm assuming they mean that they moved the body to the U.S.
Also, doesn't Brazil... I feel like Brazil is one of the countries that has a non-extradition treaty.
I don't know, but I imagine like if you've got a cool-ass alien, you just keep it on your own, at your own black sites instead of like giving it to us.
Oh, no, they do extradite, so... China, Indonesia, Iran, Mongolia, Qatar, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Taiwan, Ukraine, Vietnam, most African nations, and the most former Soviet states do not have an extradition treaty with the United States.
I spared much of the story so far, as apparently nobody would talk because the military were making them keep their mouths shut. But at the same time, every nurse and military person, including all the drivers involved in the whole chain of custody, spilled the beans in detail. So but... which one it is, I find a bit dubious.
But, like, why?
It's a bit perplexing. We're like, there's no information available because no one will talk. And then at the same time, every single person has absolutely talked. So it's like, fucking pick one, fellas.
Yeah, like, what?
Yeah, well, try not to get too picky on the legitimacy of the creature or events, and more just tell a story of some people during that time period. Roger Lear, the author's writing style, pivots from a very specific timeline of this happened here, at this place, with these named people, then moved to this other specific place with these named people. It changes to within 2 weeks of the events A officer died of mysterious symptoms, and a TV company from the UK interviewed sisters with no names and no timelines. So, like, it all of a sudden, when we get to the military and the medical stuff, very different writing styles.
Well, because obviously, the military's hiding things.
He's like, fuck, and timelines, like, events, people, anything specific.
None of this matters.
Yeah.
Fucking Carl Bratanowski or whatever the fuck. How the fuck you pronounce that man's name?
He then lists.
You know who I'm talking about.
No.
Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force? It's like Bratanowski.
I went to Jimmy Neutron right away. I was trying to think of that.
Carl. Oh, God. You know that? So that, like, the production of that series is, like, more or less cursed.
How so?
Like, it... They cut so many fucking corners making that series. Like, it's kind of impressive.
Well, that's because it's on TV. It was a Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon's not pulling out the high budgets.
Yeah, but like even still, like if you watch the show, there's like a bunch of like the hair clips through like walls constantly.
Oh, that kind
and
of
shit
deal.
Like
yeah.
that. Like,
yeah.
like I'm not talking about like high quality control. I'm talking about like basic quality control and quality assurance.
Everyone's using NoClip.
Basically, right?
Gotcha,
so
yeah.
like it wasn't a fantastically there's like stories about that fucking show. Like it's like a it's like a badge of honor for some of the animators who worked on it, I feel like.
Oh god.
Yeah.
And Dr. Roger Lear, he then lists the symptoms and says that it would sounds exactly like Ebola, and he's a surgeon. So I would lean towards trusting his thoughts regarding anything medical over any assumptions I would make off hearing symptoms. But then he spends a lot of time talking about extraterrestrials harboring microorganisms fatal to humans. Supposing that the aliens are aware of this, he posits that the reason abductees find themselves in containers of breathing fluid is that the fluid treatment prevents the contamination of other species from these microorganisms. So he goes dives head first.
Okay, so there's like five things that I need to
he goes straight off the deep end in this part.
So first of all,
point prior has he ever spoke, like he's been like pushing people to be like, it's aliens, this sounds like aliens, but never before has he just immediately gone into like, aliens are aware that they harbor fatal microorganisms to humans, which is why they put us in these tanks and why they wear those spacesuits.
So I'm pretty sure first of all, okay,
yeah,
so this is me nitpicking, but Ebola is not, I don't think you can classify Ebola as a microorganism.
It's a bacteria, right?
No, it's a virus.
Oh.
And viruses don't, like, are not living, right? But they're also non-living, not living. It's a whole fucking thing, right? But that's just me being nitpicky. The thing that's more important to me is, why the fuck is breathing fluid evidence that they're preventing contamination?
It means nothing. If we just go and say, all right, this is a definite thing that happens, there's breathing fluid, there's nothing to say that the reason for it is for microorganisms.
Well, but here's the thing. Oxygen behaves like a fluid.
Oxygen is a breathing fluid.
Yes. So, like...
When did the Matrix how does that, come out? Hang on.
How does that... Okay. Also, the Matrix didn't have breathing fluid. They had tubes.
Oh, they had tubes with the fluid in it.
Because remember, he had to like
pull it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a common trope. It came out in 99, but that's a sci-fi trope.
But my main problem, Brandon, with the breathing fluid thing is like, if I cough at like a place that's making like drinks. Right.
Yeah.
And like, I have a very infectious disease of some kind.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't do shit versus me coughing into air. Right.
Yeah.
Like if my cough is going to infect something, it's going to be just as effective against fluid as it is through air.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's no reason for the fluid. They could just use the barrier, like the little container, like a cleaning room.
There's no reason for it at that point.
Spray it down with some alcohol or whatever first. Yeah, there's no... Yeah, there's... Yeah. There's holes in his idea.
I'm struggling to understand the logic here.
It's not watertight.
No, it certainly isn't. Right. But much like a fluid, it expands to fit its container.
Yeah. Unlike a fluid that would be inside of your lungs were you to cough inside of that, that has a higher density than air. apparently, when asking for medical records, they were all confiscated by the military. But I think what's more likely is that medical records are generally treated as confidential, and they wouldn't be provided to, like, just some guy asking about them.
I wonder what, like, so I know in the U.S. we have HIPAA now,
yeah.
Right? But, like, this is 2005, Brazil.
It's written in 2005, it's Brazil. I don't know if they have their own version of HIPAA, but it's, wherever you go, you can't just go in and say, can I have, like, Bill Doodlesnitz medical history, and they don't just hand that shit over to you.
I mean, like, if you have the right amount of money, sometimes
they just be like, why?
If you have the right amount of money, Brandon, you can do that pretty much anywhere.
Yeah,
let's be real.
But not if you're a foot guy from the U.S. He doesn't have the right amount of money.
I mean, I don't know. Foot guys can be weird, and they can have some weird... They have weird powers sometimes.
Yeah.
Weird magic.
As a refresher, Lear flew out to Varginha and is working with local ufologists and translators who are also working on securing him interviews and visiting the sites of the event. While I do criticize the work he put in, he did go far and beyond what I do in my home office / masturbatorium on each episode.
Yeah.
That's why did I write that?
I don't know why you wrote the masturbatorium.
I know why I wrote that. Because I felt like I was shitting on him a lot, so I wanted to, like, I'm trying to not just be instantly shit on. I'm trying to be, I'm playing nice.
So you're coming for yourself and calling your office the masturbatorium.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Beer had made arrangements with the wife of the deceased officer, now Officer Marco Ali Charis, who passed away at age 23. The interview would include a translator for her and someone to record video. While she was never named, the widow was described by Lear as slight of build, with black hair, olive-skinned, and having delicate hands. Weird for a foot guy to say.
Is the writer of this book just Charlie Kelly's uncle?
Maybe.
Because, like...
Might be.
If that's the case, this changes my entire, like, outlook on this story.
He's delicate hands and delightfully salty toes. Again, here's the interview. I will be omitting portions as needed for the sake of it's fuck it. It's they go there's rambling. I cut out all the rambling or go straight for the sweet stuff. For anyone reading along, I don't think I've ever mentioned this, but I use ellipses ... whenever I omit portions to indicate I've done that. This is true for all future and past write-ups that I've done that are available on the Patreon. If you ever see a ... that means I cut out a chunk of bullshit that didn't contribute to anything.
I mean, that's just typical quotations.
Yeah, but people might not be aware of that. And this interview did not have too much of that, I presume, because it was passing through the Rudolfo, the translator, and a reminder that this is 9 years after the events.
I recently did some interviews through translation, and, like...
Yeah.
I don't love doing interviews through translation, and my rationale here, and this is very important, the reason I don't like doing it is because you lose a lot of context. And when I say a lot of context, I mean a fucking lot of context.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things I do for my job is interviews a lot of the time. I talk to people about their experiences and try to get a understanding of their, like, mental model of the world, effectively. And, like, this thing that I'm talking to them about. And the fact of the matter is, most of the time, the way a person says something is more important, is as important, if not more important, than what they actually said.
You lose a lot more than just the way in which someone says it. There's multiple different words that could be used for the same thing under different contexts. And if that's going through a translator where, like, English is their second language, they might be flipping or doing word substitutions that are synonyms, but have very different meanings, even though they're synonyms in the context that they're used. And same thing with like turns of phrase and stuff like that. There's just a lot that's lost.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I've always... It's always one of those things where it's like, I feel like the person who should be designing and executing the interview should be a person who is a primary speaker of that language.
Yeah.
And like, or like is fluent in that language, like to a point that is like appreciable. Because otherwise you're just kind of like, you're misrepresenting things.
There's an amount of information that's being missed that can't be captured in just like pure text form.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, even body language matters. And like, once we get it, if we get down to it really, contextualizing it against body language too, even starts to go down a different path because like different cultures have different emphases on different things, right?
Yeah.
Like, so that, you know, that like Love and Translation show.
Yes.
There's a Japanese girl on the show, and like they have them stare into each other's eyes, and she's so fucking uncomfortable by it because it's just not a thing that they do in Japan.
Yeah.
Right. But like that's important because like if you're making eye contact, like certain people will make eye contact or avoid eye contact, right?
Yeah.
And people might assume that, oh, this person's lying to me because they're not making eye contact with me, right? Or they're like looking to a certain direction or what have you. But like the fact of the matter is, like the ultimate fact of the matter is, like that's just not necessarily how this functions, right? Because like that's a culture in Japan, you're not going to be staring someone dead in the eyes as you're talking to them. It's just not what's done.
Yeah. Right?
And even you don't know that necessarily. So long story short, doing interviews through translation is always a harrowing endeavor.
Yeah. So Lear starts the interview by asking her how long her husband was in the hospital before he passed away. And she said he was in there for less than a week. How long was he sick before he went to the hospital? And again, this is going back to the Ebola-like symptoms that were discussed before. She says, I don't remember. You would know. You would know because I know whenever I'm sick or if Eric is sick, it's like, come on, it's been 3 days. Like it's
Yeah. I mean, for me,
this is again 9 years after, so maybe that wouldn't be I forgot it was 9 years after. I don't know answer.
I'm gonna say something though, Brandon. Yeah. You can pretty much assume that if it's me, I deliberately avoided addressing the problem for like at least a year before
it
happened. The only times that I've like actually properly addressed stuff is when it's like when I had my thyroglossal ductal cyst, which like caused my throat to like swell up because or my kidney stone. Those were like the two times that I have ever actually like proactively gone to the doctor because when I got the kidney stone, I thought I was in the process of dying.
Yeah.
Because kidney stones fucking hurt. And when I got the thyroglossal ductal cyst thing, I also thought I was in the process of dying because, you know, when you have a huge fucking goiter on your neck, that's troubling, especially when you're like, I don't know. I think I was like 24 when that happened.
Yeah. There's only been like a couple times, say, that I've ever like hernia that needed immediate surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I got I haven't done anything about it because there's nothing to do but get it replaced is the... my torn hip labrum, and then there's a, I forget what the word for it is. You know how when a dog gets old, it gets lumpies, like tumors? I got a thing that feels like a tumor here, and the doc was like, that's a whatever.
A fatty
like,
tumor.
Like, whenever dogs get old. I forget what that was called. They're like, don't worry about it. And it's like, it's what I wanted to hear. And that's all of it. There's been plenty. I should have gone over, I received an injury over the weekend that I get squeamish thinking about that I should, like, I'm just like, I'm going to keep changing out the bandages. It's going to take a while. It was I'll call it a form of crushing injury done to my foot. So we're going to see how long I can drag that one out.
God damn it.
This, I can't go to the doctor. I just got the bill from when we had to take my daughter to the hospital because her COVID seizures. $2,000.
Jesus Christ.
For a 5-minute ambulance ride. It wasn't 2,000, it was 1,800. But I was like, Jesus Christ.
That's too much.
It's too much. That's why I'm like, if I lose a fucking arm, I'm just, or my hand, I'm just zip tying that shit.
I'll come over with a fucking flamethrower and just like, yeah. Cauterize it.
Yeah. Let's see.
I'll do the dirty work.
Do you remember the night when he came home during the rainstorm? And she replies, he stopped at his mom's house first. He didn't come home until much later than usual. He was out doing his job, then left to go back to work. Did he tell you what he was doing that night? And she says, no, he never talks about his work. It's military work. And I don't know why I just thought of this, but I work with a large number of military folk and am present for a lot of conversations about their time. And
yeah.
My favorite exchange so far was just, this is to say, like, military people will talk about their work all the fucking time because they're just ragging on it.
Here's the fact of the matter, right? Like, I know a lot of people who work in, I've known a fair number of people who work in the military, and I love those people, but if you give them a chance, they will shit all over everything forever.
All over everything, and the only things they don't talk about is, like, if they're active duty and they're just like, I don't like talking about. It's like, I get it. Let's go back to shitting on your fucking superiors. So at the time of writing this, to leave it vague, a senior employee asked the director, did you have a lot of dumpster sex? And then regaled a tale of basically, like, Oscar the Grouch railing someone in a dumpster on base and getting caught.
That's amazing.
So, like, they talk about fucking everything.
Yeah, it's yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no secrets.
Yeah, I mean, other than things that will, like, get them fired or court-martialed. That's, like, the upper bound
if
of...
If they're not acting... No, that's they're not not currently serving. Once that's done, they'll tell you specific shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Once they're out, it's just like, oh, no. I'm fucking letting the fucking gates go because I don't have. I'm not worried about my job anymore. Yeah. So like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's also low because everyone there has clearance to know things anyway. So like, it's so much shit. The dumpster sex thing always makes me giggle.
Did you know that dumpster is like the name of a brand? By the way,
I did not.
Yeah. Apparently it's like a whatchamacallit? It's like the Kleenex or Band-Aid of the world, the generic copyrights.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Now that you say that, I recall, like, even when I sign up for a new garbage service, because they'll service larger stores too. I forget what they call it. I think they just call it, like, large container or something. Like, I forget.
Yeah, they're not dumpsters.
Same thing with like
roll off container.
Jacuzzi is a brand name. Like a hot tub is a hot, everything's a hot tub, but only jacuzzis are jacuzzis.
Yeah, I mean it's like whiskey and what was the other thing? Champagne.
Oh yeah,
right. Where it's like
otherwise it's just sparkling. Champagne has to come. The grapes have to be sourced from Champagne, Italy. Otherwise, it's just sparkling wine.
Yeah.
There's a number of things like that. Oh, and also, while her reply could seem dodgy. Many of these short, I don't know answers, who the fuck would talk to a stranger on camera that's asking about, like, your dead husband's military work? You know, you're just going to say, I don't know to everything, because you don't know what you can and can't say necessarily.
Oh, 100%, right? Like, this proves nothing.
Yeah.
Because, but then again, also, if he's dead and, like, she didn't sign no papers.
Yeah, but she's still probably, like, tread lightly, I'm still getting that pension, kind of.
Fair, you know, yeah. I didn't think of that, but that actually tracks. That might play a bigger role than I originally gave it credit for.
Yeah, you want to keep that goose cooking.
Yeah.
So then Lear said, did they give you a copy of his death certificate? Did he go to the funeral? Do you receive compensation from the military? How are you able to take care of your kids and pay for your expenses? Lear concludes that Mrs. Charisi's interview was very illuminating, that she was hiding information from the Brazilian government, yet has a gentle soul. Interesting to me, at least, is that he said her body language made that clear even as a non-student of NLP, which...
Natural... Okay.
Tells me that Lear believes in the pseudoscience of NLP, which I find interesting. NLP is short for Neuro-Linguistic Programming, and was a very hot topic in the early 2000s. It was the idea that you could, like, learn to read the unconscious micro-movements of an individual's muscles to essentially read their mind, and to also, like, control their, like, in, like, control that people somehow.
I want to say this is hilarious, because on face value, that kind of sounds like what I was just talking about yeah. like, you know, reading people. But, yeah. like, I want to clarify that when they say this, they mean, like, literally, like...
Like, literal mind reading.
Literal mind reading. Not, like, getting a vibe and, like, vibe checking on
like,
someone.
Like, this person feels like they might be lying versus...
Yeah.
I There's... know every thought in this person's head because, like, their eyes twitch slightly and, like, their skin yeah. hue changed by, like, a micro fucking thing. So, I first yeah. heard about this from one of my favorite magicians of all time, Darren Brown, who would talk about it while basically doing cold reading to sell his narrative and set up a cool, like, tone during the performance. So the part of his tricks when he would do them was to say that he's using NLP and start talking about NLP while then just doing cold reading because it, like, sells cool shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's cool narrative vibe for, like, the storytelling of the tricks.
Most shit like that is just, like, narrative, right? You're planting ideas into people's heads, and it's not, like, brainwashing. It's just like, hey, this is how this thing works, and your brain is just like, yeah. okay, I don't see any reason why this person's lying to me. Yeah. Although, to be fair, if it's Darren Brown, you should probably always assume he's lying to you.
Just always assume he's actually there was a period of time where there was a push against him because I don't know if it's a specific religious group or just in, they thought he was a demon. Because he did, like, he plays into, and, like, he'll find out and be like, all right, now I have to do this. So then he had on, called, not Trick of the Mind, Trick or Treat, where, like, he would yeah. present you, like, he would get, sneak into your house at, like, 2 a.m. after having received, like,
yeah,
you're filling, he tricks you into filling out a form that says he can do this, and then, like, you sign a thing, and then you, like, whatever, watch it. Darren, by the way, never claims to have supernatural abilities. What he does in various shows and specials is claim to know NLP or be a medium or be a faith healer or have a special spiritual connection or have special mental abilities, perform a bunch of amazing tricks in that specific theme, diving deeper and deeper and more convincingly into the theme. And then at the end, he tells everyone that none of this was real. I just did some tricks and don't believe anything. Like, if you see anyone that did any of the shit that I just did, don't believe them because you're actively being scammed, is his whole, like, he'll sell you super hard and, like, he's a faith healer, and you'll see people, like, being, like, whole, like, having a life-changing experience, and then he'll, like, immediately be, like, you're getting fucked over so hard if you go to anybody that's done any of the shit that I just did to you.
So that reminds me, Behind the Bastards recently did on TV Joshua.
I gotta watch some of those videos now.
Yeah, TV Joshua is so that's the same thing, except grade A piece of shit. So just to kind of like get into how fucky these types of things are, TV Joshua would give people AIDS tests. Right?
Yeah.
Because they were in Nigeria, I think, and
yeah,
like people needed access to AIDS testing, and like it cost money and they didn't have that money, right?
Yeah.
So he would give people these AIDS tests and then tell them they have AIDS.
Yeah.
And then faith heal them. And then tell them to go get another AIDS test, this yeah. time from a real doctor, and it would show that they didn't have AIDS.
Yeah.
And then he would basically manipulate them after that.
And then he would sell you the holy water that he used during the healing ceremonies for large sums of money. Oh, what a fucking guy.
Oh, he was a piece of shit, though.
Yeah, terrible guy.
And also, there's, like, he has, there's a very popular, like, YouTube person now that does, like, religious stuff. What was her name? Catherine Crick.
Was she the one that sold? There's a lot of them sell, like, here's a tiny vial of water.
I don't know if she does that, but she's, like, a follower of TB Joshua, right? And, I know Ono Ross and Carrie recently did a thing on them, and, like, very recently all the shit came out about TB Joshua and, like, with, like, paper trails, and he is a motherfucker. He's a terrible person, is all I'm gonna say. That's it. He's a bad person. I'm glad he's dead.
Oh, good. All right.
He is dead.
I still haven't finished that whole the part two yet.
Yeah, he just fucking died.
They did mention that.
Yeah, he fucking died. You know, we don't know what, like, how it all went down because, like, he's a cult leader, right? And, like, he's an interesting cult leader because he is, like, he thought about all of it. He was very deliberate with everything, right? Like, there's no way that you could have done the things that he did without, like, being deliberate, absolutely. As opposed to, like, just being a narcissist who, like, got a little too much power, right?
Yeah.
But anywho, returning from Darren Brown.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Darren Brown streams. He did I don't know if this is what he did. I'm just gonna say it. He did a Taylor Swift, and he owns all of his stuff. So I don't know if he bought it all back from the BBC or how licensing there works. But he streams all of his shows and all of his specials for free 24/7 on his YouTube channel. So go check that shit out if you're ever bored, because he does fun stuff.
They also reference him in an episode of Doctor Who.
Oh, I bet. I bet that he consults on a lot of shit. Like, a lot of shit. And here, we'll pivot to the medical testimony. Rudolfo, the translator, had set up a meeting with personnel where the hospital... at Hospital Regional at the time when the alien body was there. The meeting took place at 11 a.m. in a conference room in the hospital with the doctor and two of his colleagues, along with Rudolfo to translate and Lear's friend who has been around this whole time. For simplicity, the transcript combined all three of the staff's name as MP for medical practitioner.
Okay.
So this will just
military police, you mean?
No, I mean medical practitioner. Oh, are you getting
military
conspiracy?
Police, Brandon.
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. So Lear says, can you start by telling us what initially happened that night that made you think there was something unusual happening? And the practitioner says, first of all, we would like to explain that we do not have first-hand knowledge of what happened. We were told about what certain things had happened in the hospital. We don't have any first-hand knowledge. This is not an attempt to discredit the MP, and how they answered this question was correct, but where I work, there were some rumors in the area that, like, we had a UFO, and, like, various rumors of, like, underground tunnels connecting to, like, storage facilities and the
Well, because
mountains.
You do.
We absolutely do. I actually think at one point they opened up the place to the public to just be like, look, guys, it's just a factory.
Shut the fuck up, everyone.
Yeah. I've not read the rest of the interview yet, but if asked an employee, I would answer, yes, I heard. I would go, yeah, I heard there was a UFO. If someone, like even though I just fuck around.
Yeah.
Note from Lear. At this point, I could tell this was going to be an emotionally charged interview with the expressions on their faces appearing strained. I got the distinct feeling that there's going to be more than would usually meet the eye. That's a
so it's a fucking theory. Transformer. Is
it's
what
a
you're
fucking
telling me.
Transformer.
Okay,
that was a dope transformer that was posted in Discord. Don't know what that was, but it looked cool.
Dirt Boss. The one on the left is Cybertron Dirt Boss, and the one on the right is Energon Demolisher.
Gotcha.
I didn't even need to look at the picture because I remember it.
So the MP says that all was going pretty much routine for us when we noticed a few military personnel around the halls. We did not feel this was unusual because sometimes there are accidents involving the military and some of the guys come in for treatment or just to be with the guy who was injured. You know, car accidents and things like that, nothing too serious. Usually we were told by one of the orderlies that were there, some of the military vehicles pulling up in the back of the hospital. We didn't really find that unusual either. Please understand that most of this has to do with what we heard, rumors and talk. They do state many times that the hospital's close to the military base. I don't know if I feel like this is something I would say, so I don't know if I say this later in the script, but like, if you're that close, it wouldn't be weird to have like just military personnel there for physicals, checkups, accidents, or they also just assist with shit sometimes. So there's like an armory near where I am right now, and you'll just see like military vehicles around. So I wouldn't find it odd if they're like, it's a slow day and the hospital needs a lot of shit moved. Let's like load up our trucks and go help out with that.
Yeah. No, there's nothing like particularly
odd, I don't think, about just having military personnel around.
Nothing I would flag, at least.
It wouldn't be noteworthy at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be one thing if they're, like, running down the hallway, like, doing a thing. If they go in helldiver mode in the hospital, then I would take notice.
Yeah.
So Lear said, did you hear any unusual activity in the surgical area of the hospital? An MP said there was an increase in number of the military personnel, and it all looked like people were not free to go where they wanted in the hospital. Lear says, what did you mean by that? And the MP says that there were people we knew who worked in the surgery area, and they weren't allowed to go there.
So,
like, they're preventing personnel from entering an area that they would usually be allowed to go.
But, like, if... Okay.
I don't know if he's making it up, but I also don't know if he paid them for an interview. And again, this is 9 years later, and I have thoughts that, like, it wouldn't hurt to give an interview if it would encourage follow-up interviews if you're getting paid $100 or whatever to sit down and tell a guy you saw an alien for 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's ultimately the whole, like, economy, right?
Yeah.
The conference economy type thing, right? Where you're like, yeah, now I'm just gonna take advantage of this. And like, I don't blame anyone.
Yeah. Let's see. So there were military guards posted at the doors, and they weren't letting anyone in or out. Once you were in, you couldn't go out, even if you had to go to the bathroom. Also, my daughter's going to come down to eat food in a little bit, so if you hear any kids noises from outside, that's what's going on. So what happened in the medical area? People were running around. Everyone was in a state of panic. There was no order or anything, just mass confusion. Which also, by the way, again, this is all hearsay, as stated by the medical practitioners. The military was very dominating. We knew they brought a patient through the back of the hospital and brought them directly to surgery. Also not weird if there's like, if you take an ambulance to the hospital, you're going in through the back door and you're getting fast-tracked in versus people hanging out in the ER.
Yeah.
That's just how people that need medical shit right away, how that works. The other thing that really upset us was that we were told not to talk to anyone about this once it was all over. We were strongly warned from the beginning. Lear says, can you tell us specifically what was going on in that area of the hospital? He says, yes, we were preparing a patient for surgery, but no one knew what kind of a surgery or who the patient was. They had taken the patient directly into one of the operating rooms. Gotcha. So the language of the medical practitioner switched from, this is just what we heard, to, we were definitely there.
Okay.
He's saying, yes, he's saying they're including themselves in the conversation of what happened at this point. So their story narrative kind of changed already. The MP there says his specialty is orthopedic surgery. And then Lear is going to say, tell me what happened next. And the MP says, I was asked to begin a surgical scrub and to prepare for a fracture reduction. I inquired as to what part of the body had sustained the fracture, and it was simply told it was the leg. The answers came from one of the military officers. I noticed two armed officers were guarding the entrance in one of the operating suites and assumed that the patient was already on the table being prepped for surgery. Some of the nursing personnel were going about their business with little resistance from the military. It was also a bit disconcerting to see military personnel armed with weapons and live ammunition inside the operating areas. Doesn't seem clean now that I think about it. And I read this again for the first time in a while.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't have them, like, inside of the room.
Like, there's a window or something. Have them looking through the window. Yeah. It sounds like they were just in there. So what happened after you finished your scrub? The military guard opened the operating room doors and we were told to enter. The patient was already on the table and covered to the neck with a sterile drape sheet. I noticed that the expression on the faces of the nursing personnel was very peculiar. I would guess you could say they had a look of terror in their eyes.
Okay.
So the MP turned around. He was approaching the operating table with his colleagues. At first glance, the patient was quite small, and my first impression was that it was a child. I thought perhaps a military personnel had an accident and was brought to the facility.
Dependent,
for surgical.
Like a child, like a kid. It's like someone's kid from the
like
military.
Like on tax
right?
forms.
Yeah, basically. It's literally their dependent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so like some kid had gotten hurt who was like the kid of like a general or
yeah.
something, and like, okay, so they're gonna fucking pull out all the stops because, you know, that's the world we live in.
Yeah. When I first saw the face of the individual laying there, I was in a state of shock. It was far from a human face, certainly no face I had ever seen before. The eyes were large and red, staring at the ceiling with a blank stare. We were all dumbfounded. One of the military officers of high rank was in the room. He told us the victim had suffered a fractured leg and that we were to, quote, fix it. I asked him for some details regarding the patient and was told that I was not to ask questions, but to only perform the required task. We were also asked to solve any problem that might arise, no matter its nature.
I would hope that the military officer was scrubbed at this point. If you're scrubbed in, you'd hope that the person, anyone in there, is also scrubbed in.
Yeah, not close enough for casual conversation.
Yeah,
over an unknown entity's body.
Yeah.
So at this point, did you think this individual was laying on the operating table was some kind of circus freak, malformed child, or perhaps something from the animal kingdom? Which also a bad way to phrase. He's bad at questions. Like, these should have been answered by the medical person. He shouldn't.
Yeah, he should have said, what did you think it was?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What did you think? Don't just be like, pick of these three options. Just bad technique. He says, we really didn't know what to think. When we threw back the drape cover, we realized this creature was probably not from this world. Earlier in the day, we heard rumors of some kids seeing an unusual creature in town as well. And he says, can you describe what the creature looked like? It was less than 5 feet tall. It was bipedal, had two arms, two legs. The color of the skin was dark brown, which appeared to be rather shiny. So this is all the standard El Medino description so
yeah.
far.
I mean, I still don't, like... This whole, like, thing is questionable as fuck.
It's gone too far. It's gone far too far. I'm rereading what I wrote, and we covered it in the previous two already. It's the exact same description, so
yeah.
I'm gonna say it was an alien. It was the same exact alien with the three lumpy, bumpy bumps on its head and big eyes, and he was skinny.
Yeah.
It looked exactly like a Pop Fiction alien is what they described. The creature was said to have been able to move his fingers so that they could articulate with each other, and by doing so was probably able to perform all the functions like we could with like gripping and poking and normal object manipulation. Later we found out that the being walked and was able to ambulate in a normal human-like manner.
Okay.
So, and then he asked, did you examine the site of the injury? And the MP says, yes, it was the upper thigh and involved a compound fracture of the femur. The bone was protruding from the skin, and there had been some bleeding around the site of the wound, which had clotted and dried. Lear's finding out, they took some x-rays, and the patient was apparently awake. It kept moving its head, but mainly stared upwards at the ceiling. We did make an attempt to communicate verbally, but I did not receive an answer. We were concerned as to whether or not it could feel any pain, but we had no way of knowing. When we examined the fracture site, it did not jerk away or give any sign of discomfort, which could happen, by the way, if your body's in shock, you just don't feel.
Yeah, things. I mean, you still shouldn't just, like, do surgery on someone in shock, though.
Yeah, or actually, when we whether it was feeling pain, but we don't know, when we examined the fracture site, it did not jerk. So by examining it, you don't just poke it. I mean, I've never done bone. I have no medical experience, but I hope my doc wouldn't just poke at it.
Yeah, if somebody poked at an exposed bone on me, I'd be like, who the fuck are you? Get away from me. Like,
stop.
No, please don't. Yeah. What the fuck are you doing?
Oh, and here's where I'll stop for now, because we're at 14 pages, and I want to avoid fatigue or loss of interest in this. I'm not even going to read those. There won't be a part four. I want to cover more stuff.
Brandon, what's the ultimate conclusion that Footman comes to on this story?
I just stopped, to be honest. I was reading through the book, and it was the same stuff for so long that I just couldn't finish it. I'm sure his conclusion is, yes, there was an alien. If he already knows that there's, like, breathing fluid, then of course he's gonna know this is a real alien.
Let's see. Brazilian authorities reported that the aliens allegedly seen in a hospital were actually an expecting couple who had dwarfism.
Yeah. Oh, we covered that at the end of part two. Yeah.
Brian Dunning criticized sensational media accounts and ufologists' claims. According to Dunning, it is the most compelling example of a case where literally nothing at all happened that was remotely unusual. It was magnified into a case considerably unassailable proof of alien visitation by many. To those believers, I would suggest recalibrating where you set the bar for quality of evidence.
It sounds a lot like you were talking about earlier at the top of the show.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I am very excited, by the way, for the next one I'm going to do, because I'll give a little hint. I'm so excited for it. I don't remember how many pages it was, so it might be a little bit of a quicker one. Not by much, though. But we're going to cover that time where there... Actually, no, I'm not going to say it, because then I don't want to give away things that people could Google. It's exciting. Vampires.
Brandon... Vampires?
Vampires. Real vampires.
Hot. There's a short film of this story, by the way. The Varkina UFO case.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, it's called 1996. It's a horror short film by Rodrigo Brandão. It's done in the style of Blair Witch, it looks like.
Oh, there's a lot more blood in this than there was in the stories. There's a girl who's bleeding out from her forearm. She has a head wound. Let's get forward more Blair Witch stuff. It's just a corpse. She's just dead now.
This is very different than the story we've been talking about.
Large divergence, I would say. There's some good action shots. There's clips of the creature.
Oh, there are? Okay.
Yeah, at like 12 minutes, 17 seconds, and it looks like that picture of like a chupacabra that floats around the internet every once in a while.
Oh, it's actually pretty decent.
Yeah, no, I'm not ragging on it.
No, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good creature. I mean, it's clearly a dude in a suit, but like it's not poorly done, right?
No, they did the Cloverfield, like you see like it for a flash on a shaky camera, so like... You see less of it, making it your brain fills in the blanks, making it spookier.
There's a game based on this called Incidente M. Varginha.
I bet you that means the Varginha incident.
The game has a legacy of being Brazil's first first-person shooter.
Oh, all right.
Interesting. Huh. And there was a film called Moment of Contact by James Fox. And OVNIL de Fervahinha is a comic book in French by Philippe Auger.
Yeah.
The claims have markedly affected tourism to the city of Varginha. Gray alien dolls with football uniforms are sold at the location of the incident. Wait. Oh, football is in like... Wait.
Soccer. Yeah.
Gray alien designs were used in advertising campaigns for the municipality. Bus stops were built in the form of spaceships. And a 20-meter tall water tower with a disc-shaped water reservoir was erected in the town center called the... Something Special of Varginha. Whatever. Denied, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so pretty much what I'm seeing here is this is just nonsense.
Yeah, Brian Dunning, like, this is generally a true statement. Whatever Brian Dunning said.
Yeah. It looks like, you know what? it looks a lot like it's the, Brazilian form of Roswell.
Yeah.
Like there's not really much else to it.
No, it's the Brazilian Roswell.
Somebody made a post of, does anyone have a convincing refutation of the Varginha Brazil UFO case? I recently watched the documentary Moment of Contact because I heard crazy story that's supposedly taking place in Varginha, Brazil, involving a crashed UFO, aliens walking around town and being seen from a distance of 8 feet, military blockades, and the capture of two aliens, with the death of the military policeman being a direct result of this. I started watching the film thinking there was no way it could be true, but the documentary appears to have a wide range of seemingly credible eyewitness accounts. Is there something that I don't know? First response. Yeah, it's pretty well debunked. Some girls said they saw the devil. Some farmers saw a flying object near their farm. The stories became conflated. Girls decided it wasn't the devil, but an alien to go with the farmer's story, but it was actually a homeless man with the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah, it's that this was a Reddit post that I found on r/,
yeah,
Big, by the way.
It was big enough where I was like, why haven't I heard of this? And I was like, well, we can't not cover it.
I mean, it's definitely one of those things that is, this is a thing that was bigger. It's bigger in Brazil because it's like,
yeah,
related to Brazil, right? I mean, in the same way that like we don't know shit about stuff that happens in like China or Japan, right?
Oh yeah, it's a hard time getting, because I don't know foreign newspapers, so it's hard finding these. And knowing, like, what are the reputable papers and which ones are better at archiving past articles. And, there's a lot.
Anywho, that's the podcast.
Woo!
So, as always, if you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate, review, all that good stuff. Our website's cryptopediacast.com. Instagram is at cryptopediacast. So is our thing that previously had a blue bird. Our email is cryptopediacast@gmail.com or us at cryptopediacast.com.
Oh, Blue Sky, once you take off all the filters, is super horny.
Is it?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, Twitter's become super horny too, because there's like nobody's doing anything.
No.
It's lawlessness. We have a YouTube channel that I finally got all the shit working again.
Oh, nice.
It's just a question of me uploading shit. We also have a Patreon, and I just want to thank our Jackalopes, who sponsored this podcast and basically pay for the hosting.
Yes.
We've got Clay Sinclair, Marty Von Party, Bird Schneider, Jonathan Shepard, Matthew Smith, Will Smith. I'm questioning if this is the most up-to-date one, but whatever. Lemwood Sharp and Bushcraft Kelso.
Yes, and it also buys you ghost meters.
It does. Well, I did buy a thing that I did a single like stream of me tearing down that is a part of an ongoing thing that I've been trying to work on for the past like 3 years and just not making progress.
Because REM pods are expensive.
Huh? It is expensive. Stupidly expensive, considering the fact that it's like, it was really dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I tore it down, and it's like, nothing there is like anything special. They could have probably just done it all with a fucking modified radio. That's pretty much it.
It's just a radio with like a custom PCB that you could just buy from a board house for cheap.
Yeah, it's too expensive for what it is what I'm saying. But anywho, if you enjoyed the podcast, also check out our Discord, rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Any requests for stuff or any personal stories, feel free to send it to us. Don't expect that we're going to believe that the thing is paranormal, though. I want to point that out, because we did have like two or three people who came to show us stuff.
To show us like evidence of things.
And we and the people in the Discord asked clarifying questions, and I don't think they liked that.
No, they yeah.
So
what you can do, you can share hey, I saw this thing that was weird. Here's a picture of a weird thing. But there's going to be follow-up questions. Don't take it personal. It's just the nature of the people that tend to hang out there. We're going to ask some clarifying things and then share pictures of Transformers. That's kind of how that place goes.
A lot of time.
You could find me on Instagram at donkey_hands. My website is boyerb.com. My email is Brandon at cryptopediacast.com. And my former Bluebird thing is at CryptoBrandon.
I am at Mew2057 on Instagram, at JF Dunham on the other thing. Website's johndunhamgames.com, and my email is johncurtvitacast.com. And all this stuff is also on my website, like all these links.
Yeah, I'm too lazy to make my website normal again, so it still looks like I'm a fake
Heinz.
No, I didn't do. I changed it from Heinz to hot sauce. I was trying to, because this is back when like my account kept getting suspended. So I had to do a quick pivot to not. So now it just looks like a guy that makes hot sauces and sells them at farmer markets.
With a link to like a picture of a map that doesn't link to anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's the general area of the local farmer's market. And I do have my old website. It's all like stored. All I have to do is like drag some shit to the left and drag more shit to the right, and it's back. But I'm lazy. Our art was done by Tom Hill. You could find him on Instagram at Thomas Michael Hill. His website is greatergloryco.com, and his email is tommikehill@gmail.com.
I'm looking at my website right now, that's all. Anywho, I'm John.
I'm Brandon.
And things are going to get weird.